All right. Shabbat Shalom, everyone, and welcome to our Yom Hamashi. That's Thursday in Hebrew, Yom Hamashi. It's the fifth day. So welcome to Rishon Messianic Bible Club. We're going to look into a few things that we looked into last night. And amazing this, you guys. I'm asleep, right? And the Lord says, you need to go over Revelation 14 and Revelation 15 with them and clarify that. Because if they understand the second rapture, because I don't know if you guys have questions. I haven't looked at whether you have. They're like, there's a second rapture? Maybe you guys just heard about this. But in my brain, I think it's common knowledge, right? That at the end of the tribulation in Revelation chapter 14, you see another rapture taking place, and then the 144,000 go up, and then a rapture, then this rapture of believers goes up, and then you see in heaven them preparing for Yom Kippur to come back. And so if you've never really looked at that, I'm like, that's my fault. I need to put this on paper, okay? Because if I think it's part of our Hebrew class, okay? But if it's not, I need to put it on paper so that you see that Revelation chapter 14 is completely different from Thessalonians chapter 4. Because Thessalonians chapter 4, you got Yeshua coming down to a cloud. And in Revelation chapter 14, you got Yeshua coming down to a cloud, and they're both, and in both instances, they're harvesting. Mm-hmm. So this means what? There's two more harvests that haven't taken place yet. The rapture hasn't taken place, and the end of the tribulation harvest hasn't taken place. So you have to have your wheat harvest, you have to have your fruit harvest, the barley harvest already left, and I know that's part of our Hebrew class, right? Mm-hmm. So we should know the difference between barley harvest, wheat harvest, and the fruit harvest, okay? And if I haven't covered that, maybe I need to get back and really begin to teach on some of these things again, because I don't want anyone saying, hey, we need to, there's not going to be a rapture till Rosh Hashanah. Because if we're waiting 9 months and we're thinking that it has to be on Rosh Hashanah, then we are not staying in line with the scriptures, because the scriptures does not teach a Rosh Hashanah rapture for the church. But it does specifically teach about a Rosh Hashanah rapture for the tribulation believers, okay? And so that's the Rosh Hashanah that you're showing. But now that Rosh Hashanah doesn't have to take place till the end of the tribulation. So that means if you found evidence, now, this is true. I haven't even prayed yet. The Lord like, you on a roll. You gonna do this without me? No. All right, let's pray. All right. Avanu Shaba Shabaim Yit Kadeshimcha Tavo Mehuteka Yi Aserot Sanaka Be Aretz Ke Asher Ne Asa Beshamaim Tenlanu Hayom Lechum Hukenu Uselak Lanu Et Ash Metenu Ke Asher Solechim Anaknu Le Asher Ash Milanu Vial Tevienu Lede Masa Kiim Hatzilanu Min Hara Kilacha Hamamlaka Vihagivara Vihatif Eret Leorame Leoramim Amen. All right. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu. Okay. So we are and I wanna stop for a minute, because Jerry Toney, the numbers that I showed you last night was something that Jerry Toney came, found, and I think he, a friend that he was listening to actually had the information, and Jerry Toney taught on it. And I don't know if I'm respected as a Bible scholar by other people at all. There's only matters to me that God respects me as a Bible scholar. And he expects me to conduct myself as a Bible scholar, because he's teaching me as I go, he's teaching me. And I'm saying as I go, not as if I don't know, but I'm saying the Bible is so deep that I can even go deeper into the water than I am now. And sometimes God pulls me down a little deeper just to say, hey, there's more information I need you to look at, right? Mm-hmm. And so, and one of those messages I'm gonna be teaching on Sunday. But if a person doesn't understand three harvests of, and that God is Chakhlai, which means he is a farmer, okay? God is farming the world. He's planted a seed, Yeshua, HaMashiach, okay? And that seed is producing a harvest of resurrected bodies in the world, okay? The first of that harvest already left in Matthew chapter 27, verse, I believe, 50 through the end of that Matthew chapter. And those were the Old Testament saints, okay? Now, the second harvest has to take place, and the second harvest doesn't take place till the church is taken out of the world. Because so that'll be the wheat harvest. At the end of that, a fruit harvest will be taken out of the world. That's what Revelation chapter 14 is all about, the grapes, okay? That fruit harvest has to be taken out at the end. And Israel is part of that. Well, the Gentiles are not supposed to be here. You're getting really mercy and grace, okay? Because, and I'll say mercy, because even though you miss Christ during the time of grace, God is extending to you still an invitation to believe by faith on his name and be martyred for the name of Jesus Christ during the tribulation and still gain eternal life, even though you're not Jewish and you're not supposed to be here during their 70th week.
Right.
Okay? Because that's their time. That's not Gentile time. But because there'll be lukewarm Christians, there'll be Christians who don't have any oil in their lamps. So God knows there's going to be some Christians hanging out in the tribulation because they didn't believe that they needed to live for Jesus. They just believed, once they believed, they were done, and now they can live any type of way they want. And even though ministers like myself, Jerry Toney, and many others are warning them, live for Jesus. Don't just say you're a Christian, live for him. Even though we're doing that, they're still gonna miss it because, you know, sin is very attractive. And what does the Bible say? That our heart is deceitfully wicked, right? Your own heart can tell you that, oh, what you're doing is fine. You know, it's only a little alcohol. You're not really getting drunk. You're just getting buzzed. You know, the heart tells you all kinds of stuff. Like we are going to get married, so it's not really fornication. It's all, you know, it's all kinds of stuff. And then you don't end up repenting because you've already justified in your mind and in your heart that you're okay. And so the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? The only way you can deal with your heart is to make your heart come in line with the word of God, because your heart will lie. And if you say, no, heart, I know you're saying it's not yet fornication. The scripture says we're not married yet, and we're not, okay?
Amen.
So I'm just saying, God knows that there's going to be people. But in the tribulation, people will believe in Christ. A lot of people are getting beheaded.
I know.
In the tribulation. You know what that means? They really believe in Jesus now.
Amen.
Because you don't get beheaded for something that you don't really believe in. But once the rapture happened, they really believe in Jesus. Now they're willing to die for him. And which it shouldn't be that way, because he already died for you, right? So I'm hoping that to have people ready. I want as few Christians, people who knew Jesus here on earth during the tribulation as possible. I want many people who don't know Christ to come to Christ so that they're not here during the tribulation. I wish there was, I wish the rapture happened and there was nobody. You know, y'all, that all just Satan here was crickets. And that would be like awesome. It's not biblical, but that would be awesome. Like, where'd everybody go? That would be so awesome. And then God just have to beat them up, but that's not scriptural. So we have to continue teaching. Okay. So last night I was sleeping and the Lord says, make clear Revelation 4 and Revelation 15. Okay. So I'm going to do that right now. I'm going to take this Bible. Thank you, Hilda. And Hilda also sent me a Chuck Missler Revelation study book. And I'm telling you, that thing has everything. Everything I've ever studied is in that book. I'm like, it's like incredible. Okay, so we are going to go to the book of Revelation chapter 4 really fast here because there's other things we need to cover. 7 years, 6 months, you guys.
Amen. Chapter 4 and 1.
Chapter 4. We're going to be at verse 1 because how many chapters are in Revelation? 22. Why? Is each of those books based on the Hebrew letter? Yes. Okay, this is why, okay, the fourth letter of the Hebrew alphabet is what? Dalit, which means what? Door. So this is where you're going to get to see the door, and the door is going to open to receive John up into heaven. And then when he gets up there, we realize not only is John there, but there's seven lamps standing on a sea of glass. Let's look at this, okay? It says, after this, I looked and there before me was a dalit, the door. You can write the Hebrew letter dalit right above that in your Bible and you will know that is the door. So there was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here. And I will show you what must take place after this. Yes. When he says after this is Jesus talking. What's he talking about? After the church. Okay? After the church. Now I'm going to show you what's going to take place after the church. At once I was in the spirit. At once. I like that. Okay? So at once... I got to refrain from saying Hebrew stuff. Okay. At once I was in the spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven. Where is John? In heaven. That means that voice that said, come up here, pulled him up, unless John flew up himself. Mm-hmm. That means that was a harpazo. Yeah. Okay. With someone sitting on the throne, right? Verse 3. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper. Ooh, I can't wait to see him. Carnelian, a rainbow resembling an emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding, wow, why would Satan want to use the rainbow as a defiled symbol when you have a rainbow encircling the throne over God? Man, these people are messing with some holy stuff. Okay, surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders, 12 the tribes of Israel, 12 apostles. Okay, the court has been separated in 24. Okay, it says they were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their head. Okay, so they got crowns. They've received something, right? From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder. Before the throne were seven lamps blazing. Okay? Revelation chapter 1 says, oh, by the way, the seven lamps are the seven churches. Okay? So that when you get to this chapter, you won't say, I wonder what those lamps were. They actually just regular lamps. What kind of lamps were they? You'll say, the seven lamps are the seven churches. So he clarifies that in chapter 1. Before the throne were seven lamps and were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. Okay? Mm-hmm. Also, and when it says these are the seven spirits of God, see, those are the spirits. That's not the church. Listen, the Spirit of God lives inside of the church. When the church gets to heaven, the Spirit of God will be in heaven in the form of seven. Yes. Seven spirits, seven churches, yes. Seven lamps, yes. Seven churches. Okay. Yes. Also, before the throne was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. You see that? Now, only two times in Scripture are we going to see this sea of glass, okay? I have a line here that says, okay, that it says sea of glass, okay? Now, they're standing, okay? It says before the throne, there was what looked like to be a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center, around the throne was four living creatures. So the seven lamps are here, and there's a sea of glass, clear as crystal. Yes. Okay. Now, what does the water represent? People, nation, tongues. Okay. Mm-hmm. So if I see a sea, if I see a sea of glass, I'm saying it's a sea of people, people, nation, okay, languages. All come at peace, standing before the throne is a sea of glass, at peace. What does the name for the Shulamite means? Perfect rest, perfect peace. Mm-hmm. That's the church. Perfect rest, at perfect peace, seven churches standing on the sea of glass.
Yes.
Okay? And we're calm. Okay? Now, he begins to tell you what's going on in heaven. And then as we continue to read it, they're saying, holy, holy, holy. These angels are singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor and thanks to the one who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sit on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, you are worthy.
Yes.
Okay. Let me take this crown off. I'm not fooling myself. You might give me a crown, but I'm not going to be one of those people that, you know what I mean? I'm like, take that thing off. There's only one king here, right? So he says, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory, honor, power, for you created all things. And by your will, they were created and have their being. Now, that is the sea of glass, and the church is there. I want us to go to Revelation chapter 15, okay? Yeah, because in Revelation chapter 14, what did we see? The 144,000 go up to heaven. Then in Revelation chapter 14, verse 14, we see the harvest of the earth. We see the Lord come down to a cloud. He has a sickle in his hand. He says, take your sickle and reap, for the time has come to reap.
Yeah.
And he takes his sickle, and it says at the end of this, it says,
is it verse 1?
Well, it's verse 14 now. Yeah, so with Revelation chapter 14, and then he says, and I looked, and there before me was a white cloud, and seated on the cloud was one who looked like the Son of Man. It's Jesus, with a crown of gold on his head. Wow. And a sharp sickle in his hand. And it says, then the other angel came out of the temple and called in a loud voice to him who was seated on the cloud, take your sickle and reap, because the time to reap has come, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. So he who was seated on the cloud swung his sickle over the earth, and the earth was harvested. He's sitting on a cloud, okay? He's sitting on a cloud. Now, I'm just going to go to Thessalonians chapter 4. And
first or second?
It's first. Let me see if it's first Thessalonians. Yeah, it's. Man. Okay, it's first Thessalonians chapter 4.
And what verse?
Verse 13. Okay, it says, brethren, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who have fallen asleep or grieve like some, like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe in Jesus. We believe that Jesus died and rose. So we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own words, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command and with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. Okay? Now, this is what lawyers call making a distinction. In this cloud story and in this pulling up, it never mentions that the Lord was there with the crowns on his head.
Right.
Okay? Because there's been no crowning ceremony. Okay? But he's in the clouds and he calls the saints up to the cloud. Okay? In Revelation chapter 14, he's in a cloud and he has crowns on his head and he takes his sickle and harvests, and the earth was harvested, and he pulls those people up. Now, these
wants to know, who are the dead in Christ?
The dead in Christ are everybody, the 12 apostles and everybody who believed the gospel since then. And if they died before the rapture, guess who they are? They are the dead in Christ. And it says that when we die in Christ, to be absent from the body is to be what?
Present with the Lord.
Present with the Lord. So when we die in this body, our spirit goes to heaven.
You don't lay in the grave?
You don't lay in the grave. But the thing is, you don't get a resurrected body yet. You get a spiritual body. There are many types of bodies. But there is a spiritual body. So now, what are those saints who have died in Christ waiting for? They want their resurrected bodies. They want a body just like Jesus' body, okay? Because Jesus is in heaven, and his resurrected body is in heaven. You understand?
Yeah.
So God is, so. But now, because the second harvest hasn't happened, so those who are dead in Christ will rise first. And then we who are left will be caught up with them in the heaven, will be resurrected and raptured at the same time. They'll have their resurrected bodies. We'll have our resurrected body. We'll stand on a sea of glass, clear as crystal, calm and peaceful.
Pastor Sandy, who are the elders that are seated in heaven?
12 apostles, 12, the 12, the 12, 12 tribes of Israel, and the 12 apostles. And here, let me give you the scripture so that you can go back and study that for yourself, because I'm not going to do all your studying. So.
They want to know our resurrected bodies, literal bodies.
I don't know. Did Jesus eat with that body?
He ate.
Did Jesus walk around with that body? Did he hug people with that body? Did he knock on doors to get in?
Nope.
He walked through. So it's a little different from our bodies. It's a resurrected body. But this is the body Jesus wants to give you. Matthew chapter 19, verse 28 will tell you who the other 12 are. And that in that scripture, Jesus is promising the 12 apostles that they will sit on thrones in heaven. Yeah. Okay? Yeah. So that's a very clear indication of who the other 12 are, okay? Matthew chapter 19, verse 28, Jesus Christ promises the 12 apostles, you will sit on thrones in heaven, okay? So, but I'm glad you asked that, because those are good questions, like, you know, preaching the gospel to the whole nations, all the nations. That also is backed up by scripture, so that we don't turn a scripture into a religion, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm gonna do what the Lord told me. Now I gotta go to Revelation. We're in chapter 14, and here he is, he's on a cloud, and the earth was harvested, okay? Now, after the earth is harvested, oh, I wish we had. In heaven, in verse 17, another angel came out in heaven, and he too had a sharp sickle. Still, the angel who had a charge, and it said, still, another angel who had charge of the fire came from the altar and called in a loud voice to him who had the sharp sickle. Take your sickle and gather the clusters of grapes from the earth, fruit harvest from the earth's vine, because its grapes are ripe. And that angel swung his sickle, okay, on the earth and gathered the grapes and threw them into the wine press of God's wrath. So, first he harvests those believers.
Yes.
Now he comes back, but before he comes back, what does he do? There's another angel, he's in the altar, and he's in charge of the fire.
Yep.
Why is he in charge of the fire? And why is he in the altar? You would have to go back to Deuteronomy and say, take the incense and put them on the fire, because the fire will create a smoke, because now it's Yom Kippur and Jesus is about to return.
Yes.
Okay? And you have to understand this. Now, if Jesus is returning on Yom Kippur, what is Rosh Hashanah? That's Israeli Tarbut, right? Rosh Hashanah is the judgment day to take the righteous.
It's really taboo.
Tarbut is culture, okay? That's the culture of Israel. Historia is the history, Tarbut is the culture, okay? So, you take this and you say, okay, now with this, he is going into the altar, and this angel's in charge of the fire. And the altar, is there a fire and an altar in heaven? Yes. Is there a temple in heaven? Yes.
Are our prayers the incense?
All of the prayers are the incense of the, he said, these are the incense of the saints. And then we go back to Revelation 8, and then you'll see another Yom Kippur moment. So you're very right, because he says, these are the prayers of the saints, right? So he throws these incense on the fire, and they create a smoke. And this cloud. Why? Because it's Yom Kippur. That means Jesus was thinking about his second coming in Deuteronomy. And when he comes, he can't just come in his glory like that with no cloud, because Deuteronomy chapter, I have to look it up. Deuteronomy shows you that you cannot walk into the presence of God. So he instructed them, put the incense on the fire, create a smoke, and then you come into the Holy of Holies so that you do not see me, because my presence is above the Holy of Holies, right? Yeah. So he's telling them, don't do this. Now I'm going to come back. So now I need an angel in charge of the fire. He takes the incense, he puts them on the fire. And what does he do? This creates a smoke. Why? Because it's Yom Kippur's time. Mm-hmm. 10 days before Yom Kippur is Rosh Hashanah. 10 days before Yom Kippur is Rosh Hashanah. Mm-hmm. First, the taking up. We just saw that. Right. Now he's returning. Put the incense on the fire 10 days later. Okay? The days of awe. Okay? So,
amen.
Now, since all of this has happened and the tribulation saints are in heaven, let's see where they came from. Here, let's watch. Let's see.
Where are you reading?
In Revelation chapter 15. There are all these tribulation saints are in heaven. In verse 1, he says, John says, now, he says, I saw in heaven another great and marvelous sign. Seven angels with seven last plagues. Okay, last, why? Because with them, God's wrath is complete. That means the tribulations is almost over, right?
Yeah.
And he says, and I saw what looked like a sea of glass. That means people, places, people, tongues, nations, right?
Right.
Of people in heaven. He says, but they're in heaven. And guess what? Mixed with fire. Mm. The sea of glass is now mixed with fire. They come through turmoil. And it says, and standing on the sea were those who had been victorious over the beast. Okay? You, as a church member, have not had to deal with the beast.
Amen.
Okay? Now, and they're victorious over the beast, his image, and over the number of his name. Yeah. So these are people that are victorious because they never took the name or his number in their hand or their forehead, and they remained faithful to Jesus all the way to death, right? And or all the way till they were taken up, okay? Now, it says, okay, and it says, had been victorious over the beast and his image and the number of his name. They held harps and were given to them by God, sang the song of Moses, okay, and the servant I'm going to read that again, okay, and it says, and they were over the beast and his image and over the number of his name. They held harps given to them by God and sang the song of Moses, okay. The song of Moses is a Jewish song. And the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, which is a what? A Gentile church song, right? So you got Gentiles and you got Jews. The fruit harvest is in the kingdom, okay? They're singing, great and marvelous are your deeds, Lord God Almighty, just and true are your ways. King of the ages, who will not fear you, O Lord, and bring glory to your name. For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you. Okay? And your righteous acts have been revealed.
Somebody don't know you very well.
Mm-mm. All right, get rid of them. Okay, now. So now, look. All these tribulation saints are in heaven. Mm-hmm. You understand? Gentiles and Jews are now in heaven. He's separating it to let you know, singing the song of Moses. He's separating, letting you know, they're singing the song of the Lamb, and they've overcome the beast and his number, and they made it through the tribulation. They gained life, even though it was by death, or that rather they were running, and while they were running, they were not eating. Why? Because you can't buy anything. Okay? So they're thirsty, yeah. They're hungry. The judgments of God have come upon the earth, so they're not being protected from the judgments, okay?
Right.
So, but they made it through, and now they're in heaven, and this is the end of the tribulation. Any questions?
Not yet.
Okay, good. Now, so Revelation 15 sea of glass is completely different from Revelation chapter 4 sea of glass, because Revelation chapter 4 says, I'm bringing you up into heaven. You're the seven churches. You're a sea of glass. You're at peace now. And guess what? Okay, now I'm going to show you what must take place after the seven churches are here. We don't get to the, now we see what happens after all of these people now be through fire, make it into the kingdom as well. Okay, so a Rosh Hashanah rapture is true, but only for the tribulation saints and Israel. That's a true doctrine, but you have to readjust it, because a Rosh Hashanah rapture does not fulfill the last three feasts if it takes place now, because we would have to get raptured. The church would have to, then you would have to wait 7 years and 6 months before Jesus comes back. Okay? On Yom Kippur. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are only 10 days apart.
Yep.
You understand? So you can't have a Rosh Hashanah rapture and then wait 7 years, 7.5 years, and then Jesus comes back.
Amen.
How did the first happen? Passover, first fruits, right? Pentecost, right? So you have these happening. You have these three happening in consecutive order. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
So you have Passover, first fruit, then you have Pentecost, and it's 50 days apart, and it happens that way. You don't have Passover, then wait 7 years, and then have first fruit, then wait 7 years, and then have Pentecost. It went in consecutive order. So it was fulfilled according to the way God planned it out, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Passover, first fruits, and then Pentecost 50 days later, okay? It happened that way the first time. The first have been fulfilled, okay? And now you're saying, okay, now we have the last three feasts. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Feast of Tabernacles. Tabernacles means he's here with us, and now he's tabernacling amongst us, and he's here, okay?
Yeah.
And now you celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles 5 days after Yom Kippur. So the last three feasts will be fulfilled when? The exact same way the first three, in perfect order. There won't be a Feast of Trumpets, then wait 7 years, and then you have Yom Kippur, and then you have, okay?
Right.
It's gonna be Rosh Hashanah, 10 days later, Yom Kippur, 5 days later, the Feast of Tabernacles, okay? And that's how it will be fulfilled. So I wanna clear that up, because I don't want people saying, we got till Rosh Hashanah. You don't have till Rosh Hashanah, okay? Because don't think you got till fall to get it together.
Amen.
Okay? You are a wheat harvest, and wheat harvest is not harvested in the fall. It's harvested sometimes early in the late spring, and sometimes right at in the summertime at Pentecost, okay?
Amen.
Now, what else did? Oh, this. Check this out, you guys. Oh, sometimes God just, if you're sleeping and God's talking to you, it's like, it's like, that means you're doing too much. It's like, I have to wait till you fell asleep because you're doing too much, right? So I want us to go to Isaiah 66, verse 8, okay? Because the Lord wanted me to show you something that is very beautiful, because some of us don't understand that we are the offspring of Israel.
Yes.
We are Israel's children.
Yes.
And every Jew out there should need to know that. Me with this big cross on, I'm your kid. You produce me, okay? If there's no Israel, there's no Jesus Christ. If there's no Jesus Christ, there's no redemption for Pastor Sandy,
amen,
right? If there's no crucifixion, there's none of us. We are the offspring of Israel,
amen.
Okay?
66 what, Pastor?
66, I believe, is verse 7 and 8. Oh, God wanted me to show you this today, too. I love when he like, okay, this will clarify it, Sandy. Why don't you do this? Like, you are smart. You're like the smartest.
Oh, he's smart.
Oh, yeah. Okay, now watch this.
Verse 7.
Now watch this. Talking about Israel. This is talking about the nation of Israel. It says, before she goes into labor, she gives birth. Wow. Before the pain comes on her, she delivers a son. You see that? Before she has any labor pains or any pain, Israel produces a child. How is that? The next scripture says, has anybody ever heard of such a thing? God's like, when you find a mystery like this, God is saying, try to understand the mystery of this. Mm-hmm. Because you know that is commonly impossible for a woman to say, I had no pains, but I gave birth.
Right.
Okay. And then after she has the pains and she births, it says, can a country be born in one day or a nation be brought forth in a moment? Yet no sooner is Zion in labor than she gives birth to her children. Hmm. So then let me grab my water here. After she gives birth to her own children.
Yep.
Oh my goodness. You guys, Psalms 20 through 7 tells this exact story. I'm sorry, I had to drink something.
Help yourself, man.
Now, okay, so she gives, now let's see where this birth takes place. Let's go to Revelation chapter 12. Scotty Clark wasn't crazy when he first started. He got crazy after. But what the Holy Spirit showed him was absolutely true.
What verse?
Huh?
What verse?
Chapter 12, we'll start at verse 1. Yes, okay. And it says, a great and wondrous sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed in the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars above her head. She was pregnant. Is Israel pregnant with us?
Yep.
She's pregnant. And she's pregnant with her own kids, too. There's a lot of people that got to be birthed out of Israel, okay? She was pregnant and cried out in pain. It's because she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns. And 7 crowns on his head. This appeared in 2017, okay? In the 5777 year, okay? And it says, his tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that he might devour her the moment it was born, okay? Now, this is a duality of prophecy. It's telling us two stories at once, because this did happen with Jesus Christ, with Herod. But this is also happening with the church and Israel. And I'll show you why. It says, she gave birth to a son. Who does she give birth to in Isaiah 60? She gives birth to a son before she goes into labor.
Right.
It says, she gives birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all nations with an iron scepter. Then it separates itself from talking about Christ because it says, and her child was harpazoed. It says her child was forcibly snatched up into heaven. When Jesus went up into heaven, it never uses the word that he was harpazo. It says he ascended up.
Yes.
This, it says, it uses the word harpazo. So now it's talking about a different son. Who's that different son? The church. It says this son was harpazoed, okay, up to God and to the throne. Revelation chapter 4 says what? Immediately I was in heaven before the throne of God. Okay, now watch. The middle of the tribulation. The woman fled. After this child is snatched up, the woman fled into the desert to a place prepared for her by God, where she might be taken care of for 1,260 days. Okay? Now watch this. And there was war in heaven. Okay? There was war in heaven. Michael, we're talking about the middle of the tribulation now. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down. Can I use the word inhabitants? Okay. Because the great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled down to the earth and his angels. So now they become inhabitants. Yes. The Greek word says that word inhabitants is a compound word that says those who have been thrown down and throughout. Okay. Okay. Hurled down to the earth. Okay. Verse 10. Then I heard the loud voice in heaven say this. Watch this. Oh my. It says, now comes salvation and the power of the kingdom of our God, the authority of his Christ, the accuser of the brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. This is the middle of the tribulation. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimonies. And they did not love their lives as much to shrink from death. I want to go over. Let's get over here to. Let's go to verse 13. Okay. Watch this. When the dragon saw that he had been hurled down to the earth, he pursued the woman. Who's the woman? Israel. Okay, the middle of the tribulation, when he gets kicked out of the second heaven, he goes immediately to make war against Israel. Okay? The woman was given two wings of a great eagle so that she might fly into a place prepared for her in the desert where she would be taken care of for a time, time and half a time, 3.5 years, 1,260 days. Okay. It says out of the serpent's reach. So she's protected out of the serpent's reach. It says then from his mouth, the serpent spewed water like a river to overtake the woman and sweep her away. What does the Psalms tell us? This flood of trouble comes against Israel, right? So this is the middle of the tribulation completely. But the earth helped the woman and opened his mouth and swallowed up the river that the dragon spewed out of his mouth. And then listen to what it says now. The dragon was enraged at the woman, enraged at Israel, and went off to make war against the rest of her offspring. Is that just the Jews?
Nope.
Let's read. Those who obey God's command and hold to the testimony of Jesus Christ. Wow. So listen, it says here, he went off to make war against the rest of her offspring.
Mm-hmm.
Those who believe in Jesus Christ are the rest of her offspring. So all those tribulation saints who are now believing in Jesus become not only is he rescuing the nation of Israel, he's also mad at the rest of her offspring, those Jesus believers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So we are the offspring of who? Of Israel.
Yeah.
And the scripture says that the offspring of Israel, that son will be birthed before she has any tribulation pains.
Yeah.
Okay, there's pre-tribulation right there. I just gave you, I just been talking to you about pre-tribulation stuff. And if you send this to somebody and they say, I know you believe in a end of the tribulation rapture, and say, you're right. Listen to this. there will be, for those who make it through the tribulation, there will be a fruit harvest, okay? But there's another rapture that takes place before the tribulation even begins, yes, and that's the wheat harvest,
yes.
Okay? So,
5 minutes, Pastor.
To not confused about the fact that there's going to be another rapture, they're confused about the harvest because they don't understand that God is a farmer. And you can't farm everything in one season. You can't get to spring and say, I got all of the barley and I got all of the wheat and I got all of the fruit right here in the spring. No, the seasons take time. And that's what God's saying. Mm-hmm. The barley harvest is gone, all the Old Testament saints. The wheat harvest is coming. After the wheat harvest, the fruit harvest will then come, okay? So understand this, what the Lord wanted me to clarify, because I want you to know what's going to take place in 2020, because we're not at the 120th year yet, but March 26th, it will be spring and it will be Nisan 1. Yes. The flood took place the second month of the new year. You understand?
Yes.
It took place in the second month on the 17th day. Not saying that that's the date, because a lot of things have happened, but it didn't take the whole year before the flood to come. You understand?
Right.
It only took until the second month and the flood took place, okay? Mm-hmm. So if we are wheat harvest, and if she's looking for the, if she snatched up in the spring or at Pentecost, you can't say, well, they have till Rosh Hashanah, so, you know, I'll warn them then. No, no, that's a trap. That's a trap, okay? We're supposed to watch and pray every day,
yeah,
and be ready all the time. And I want you to know that the 120th year is coming, and it's in March, it's on March 26th, and we will enter the 120th year, and then we'll get into, it was just as it was in the days of Noah. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Did I? That's it. Thank you, Jerry Tony, for doing that study. And thank you for preaching righteous living and repentance.
Yes.
Because we need that for our end time family of God to know that they cannot play games with this walk. They need to make sure to do what Jesus says. Make sure you are worthy of his calling. Make sure you're worthy to leave and stand before the Son of God, okay? So let's stay focused, let's stay in Jesus, let's stay in righteousness. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. I'm gonna pray you out. Thank you for those great questions today. I want to do exactly what God said. I wanted to do the Shema prayer, but the Lord's like, no, you bless my people. Leave them with the blessing, okay?
Yeah.
And he says to Moses, when you bless my people, he says, you tell them this, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. He loves you, right? The Lord have make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Shalom, yivarechaka Adonai v'yishmarecha. Yair Adonai panavilecha v'chuneka. Yi'aseh Adonai panavilecha v'yasim lekai shalom. Shalom, everybody. Lihitriot Shavua Haba, right? Next time or Habazman or Ba'am Haba.